Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And praise God for His merciful kindness and tender love. It's so wonderful to have a God that you can come to at any time of day or night and know that He will not refuse you, but will listen to all that you have to say, will communicate with you, and will indeed answer your requests and petitions according to His perfect will. He truly will do more than what we could ask or think because of His love for us. So welcome, dear ones. And it's good to be in fellowship with you once again. Our opening song for tonight's service is titled, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And praise his holy name for leading and guiding each one of us up that straight and narrow path to life eternal. So it's good to be in fellowship with you all once again and to unitedly raise our voices in praise to our God. I invite you to please kneel and bow your hearts for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care, thy guidance and leadership. Thank you so much for having our best interests in mind at all times. And we can rest safe and secure, content, whatever our lot may be, because you are leading and guiding us to salvation. Dear Father, we give tonight's meeting into your hands. Please be with us. Grace us with thy presence and the atmosphere of joy and peace and love and light that surrounds you. And thank you so much for being here. We also pray, dear Savior, that thy presence will be here, that our hearts may be lightened with your knowledge of truth. And we also pray, dear Spirit, that thy presence will be here to lead and guide us directly to the Savior. We thank you that thy truth is spreading around the world, that this earth is being lightened with your glory. And please bless the efforts that are put forth to reach out, to seek and to save the lost, to encourage those whose faith is weak, and to lead everyone to Jesus Christ, who takes away their sins. Please also prepare the hearts to receive the truth. Speed around the world your messengers, wherever they are in each country of the land. And thank you, Father, that we're a day closer to seeing this dark world filled with your glory, and with precious souls garnered out of Babylon into your kingdom, the heavenly garner. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and we're continuing in our study book of Romans. We're in chapter 8, and verse 18 is where we left off last time. And the last thing we were talking about is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we become the children of God and the heirs of God, adopted into his family. And that makes us joint heirs with Christ. And so if he asks us to suffer for his name, to sacrifice the things of the world that we may obtain the things of heaven, then we know that as our Lord suffered and was made perfect in character by doing so, so then we also will be made perfect in Christ, and thus will be glorified together with him, as unworthy as we are of that distinct privilege and honor. So if you find yourself suffering in this world, then count it a blessing because God is perfecting your character as dear children of His, so that you may inherit the kingdom prepared from the beginning of the world for you. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So if you think about it, God is granting us the reward of eternity for the suffering that is our lot in this wicked world. Those who turn away from sin and follow the Lord make themselves a target for the wicked. And what can hurt most of all is those wicked may be family members, closest friends, neighbors, someone that the devil can use to get directly at you. But even if you lived 70 years and every day of those 70 years you suffered in some way, what is 70 years of suffering compared with eternity of joy and happiness? You know, what is a drop of water compared to the Pacific Ocean that's connected directly with the Atlantic Ocean? What's a drop of water compared to that massive amount? So that's why Paul here is talking about dealing with the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings that he was going through. Yeah, he was shipwrecked 3 times. He received 40 stripes, saved one more than once. He was stoned, left for dead. And yet he could say that the sufferings that he went through, as well as other Christians, are not really worthy to be compared with the reward of eternity. Putting off mortality to receive immortality when Christ comes. But when you're suffering, it's not pleasant to go through. And there's the temptation to focus on how you feel through the suffering. And when you turn your attention to self, it can make the suffering 10 or 100-fold greater. If you can keep self out of the picture and rest in Christ, the suffering can be made so much easier to endure and to go through than if you focused on self. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faith. So not only the animal creation, not only the insect creation and everything else that God created groaneth and travaileth in pain because of sin, but God's human creation also is travailing and groaning in pain, even those who are walking in the Spirit. Amen. Temperance is another one. Even those that are walking in the Spirit, having the fruits of the Spirit. Continuing, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So Paul here is talking about mortality being put off and immortality being put on. The redemption of our body, redeeming it from the effects of sin to be able to live forever in righteousness. And the animal creation is also waiting for that change. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, eternal life with God and Christ, then we do with patience wait for it. So we're to have our attention focused on living forever with God and Christ. And then we patiently wait for that reality to take place. But if our faith is weak, then we become impatient. Hope is not as strong, is not as fixed as it needs to be. Now, Paul talked about desiring to be with Christ, which was his first priority. And he said, I would much rather rest in the grave so I can be that much quicker in time-wise with my Lord. I don't have to go through more years of pain. I can rest in the grave, and the next thing I'm going to know is Christ is resurrecting me from the dead. So I'd much rather die in the Lord so that I can be with Christ in an instant. But he said, it's God's will that I remain in this mortal body to help others get prepared to meet the Lord. So if God is allowing you to have life each new day, then there's a work that he wants you to fulfill for him in seeking to save others, in living that Christian life, in perfecting your character, in walking that straight and narrow upward path one more step. There's a work for you to do. And you can be happy about that work, happy about having life for another day. Another opportunity to give God glory in the words you say, in the actions you perform, in the deeds that occur, in fulfilling your responsibilities, whether at home or at work. Another day to give God glory and to reveal Christ in you. And thus you have hope of that glory to be revealed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if Christ is not in you, then there's no hope.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to say something. On Monday, I was reading The Desire Ages, and I was reading, I don't know where, but it's where the last part of when they took Christ to trial. And you remember Peter, I was reading around Peter. And when Christ told Peter to, that when the cock crowed three times, he's gonna deny him. But it happened when I was reading, it says that when Christ, when Peter, was gonna, I guess, deny him, the Lord looked, that look that, when he saw Peter, and Peter looked at him at the same time, and the way her sister White put it, I guess that look saved Peter's soul, because I guess he did not remember at the time, but that look that Christ gave him, he knew that he was going to deny him, but the way how he had compassion for Peter, he did not like treat him with coldness, but with compassion and love. And that led him straight to Gethsemane. So the point that I want to say is that what kind of love is that? It's so beautiful that Christ understand each and every one of us. And I don't know if it goes with the part of suffering that we all go through things, and even the other person doesn't know, Jesus knows, and he has compassion and he has love, and we go through things, but he understands. So I just wanted to point that out. And when I got that, it touched me so much that love is something that I can't understand, but it's beautiful. And even our nature, our sinful nature, cannot understand the love and the sacrifice that God go through for us. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Amen. If I remember correctly, she mentions that look that Christ gave when Peter denied him the last time. Christ turned and looked through a window right at Peter, and Peter at the same time turned and looked at Christ. And what he saw in Christ's face was sadness, but yet not condemnation. There was pity, but yet not rejection. There was compassion and love, all in that look. And Peter understood it. That's why Peter was not driven away in hopeless despair because of his repeated rejection of Christ or denial of him, but he was led to repentance because he saw there was hope in that look. And may we be so filled with that type of godly love that people can read the same in our expressions for them, in our actions towards them, and not misread our motives for their salvation. So thank you, dear sister, for sharing that. And praise God that it is possible through the grace and divine power of our Savior to become just like him in character. Is there anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we open it up to prayer? Please go right ahead. Well, let's open it up to a season of prayer, and whoever would like to begin, please feel free, and I'll close.
Good evening, everyone. May we hand blessing for closing prayer. Our most kind Father, we thank you this evening that we have been able to come together and fellowship. We pray that whatever we have learned may benefit all of us and be fitted for heaven. Lord, we come before you seeking for cleansing, that may the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify us. Lord, as we close this year, we pray that the Holy Spirit may remind us whatever we have learned the whole year. As we also plan to move out, to give out your word, may the Holy Spirit still continue to guide us, lead us, that whoever will hear your word may come to you with a heart of repentance, that he may understand the love we talk about every day, the compassion you give to each creature. Lord, we are here groaning in this world with evil. Help us that we may overcome the world. Loving Father, we thank you that you have provided this opportunity, that first we can learn of you. Continue to be our master guide in everything we do. All in all, we put your work in your hand, that you may yourself do it.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful night we have here, worshiping you. And please help us understand the love that you have for all of us, Father, is so beautiful. My prayer tonight is for us to practice and to look to you and to help us to have that love that you have. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving your life for us. We don't even deserve it. But you love us, and your love is so deep. And please bless all of us here tonight. And I understand that Mr. Petwa and Joel have a newborn baby. I ask you to please bless him and keep him and touch his head and his feet and be with him forever. and give us a good night's sleep and help us to be ready for tomorrow to battle the remaining in this world that we have. We have seen so much things, and I know your time is soon to come. And help us to prepare ourselves. Help us to love one another, and help us to do that, Lord Jesus. And thank you for the reading that I had. It really, really deep. I understand how beautiful your love is for each and every one of us. Forgive us, Father Jesus, for coming short, and forgive us for everything. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you for the privilege of praying to you and having you hear it and understand it through our Savior's righteousness and cleansing. Father, please fill us more and more with your love. And please have your love replace the worldly love, the shallow love, the imperfect love that we have, that we might indeed be the children of God and manifest your love through us to others. Forgive us for our shortcomings, our failings. Forgive us for breaking your laws, whether of the Ten Commandments or the laws of health. Forgive us for choosing our own will over your will. And please help us to be more humble and contrite, broken-hearted. Help us to be needy, ever seeking more closeness to Christ, more of his help, more of his grace and strength, that we may become more like him. Please be with our dear brother, Joel, and brother Kenneth, and others who will be traveling to Kenya for the meetings there. Please give them and the rest of the brethren traveling mercies. Protect them. Keep them from harm, from injury, from accident. And please prepare the way for precious souls to attend the meetings and to have their understanding opened and enlightened by the Spirit, and indeed to comprehend the message of salvation in Jesus. And let there be an outpouring of thy Spirit such as not yet been seen in that country, that people may come alive for the Lord and turn their back to sin and the world. And let thy glory spread like wildfire throughout that entire country and continent and around the world. And thank you so much for doing so and making this a reality. Please be with us now as we part. Bring us back together again. And thank you for being in control of all things and for being our God that is coming soon. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, a scripture song came to mind just as I finished prayer. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. What a precious verse that is. Well, good night, dear sister, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you again in just a couple days. Dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other comments or thoughts, songs, testimonies? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep building your hope by looking to Jesus and the reward that he will grant you when he comes again. Keep your eyes fixed on the goal of salvation with him forevermore. And soon it will be yours. Be patient, long-suffering, gentle, meek, and you will become more and more like the Savior. So until we meet again, may God bless. Our love and prayers are with each one, and thank you for the same for us. And now I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61:1-3. And a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I.